I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are going to die. I too am going to die. I mean, we share this in common, among other things. We are mortal. And one day, our mortality will claim us, and there will be no more breath and no more sunrises, no more I'll get to that tomorrows. And we resist with every fiber of our being this very fact. And yet, anything we do to put off our death is just an attempt to deny the inevitable. And if we do get to the point that we live without the specter of our mortality haunting us, such illusions don't last for too long. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I'm sure there's the Silicon Valley Coalition for Radical Life Extension. There's millions of people now who won't see death if they choose, said their director. And there's also a group of scientists trying to extract and utilize the DNA of a very particular jellyfish, one that can replicate its genes ad infinitum, hoping to find a way to use that to extend our lives and to infinity and beyond, as they say. Now, I've got to admit that the prospect of injecting myself with the DNA of a jellyfish is admittedly pretty exciting, right? I'm a sci-fi guy. I also can't shake the feeling that right now, in this age, in this time of our species evolution, spending one's life on a quest to live forever is only going to result in missing out on the goodness of life as it is right now. In the here and now, in this life, and this one alone. When all that we long for is life everlasting, we risk missing out on a meaningful life now. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Come to believe that there's a kind of tyranny of the future, a tyranny of our own future, right? The ideas of what our future is going to be like when it bears down upon our lives in the present. Right? It brings with it the illusion that what is to come will necessarily be better than what we have now. That what's on the horizon is guaranteed to be an improvement over and against the coarseness of our present. And that may be true for some of us. It may be, in fact, be true for every single one of us, that the future is going to be better than what we have today. But the truth is, we can't know that. We can't be certain of that. And so we risk missing out on the goodness and the beauty and the meaning of life in the present at the expense of an uncertain and unpromised future. How can we possibly plumb the depth of meaning and beauty now if we only have eyes for what may be coming some time down the road? See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. So Paul was on to something when he urged the Corinthians to recognize the immediacy and the power and the reality of the present as it is. For the Corinthians, now was the time to repent, to make themselves right before God and with one another. But within that urging for repentance now, there, I think, is something else, an undercurrent. Because repentance wasn't just an action that you did once and sort of went about the rest of your life. It was more than that. Still is. It's a way of being human. A way of orienting oneself to the world. It's a way of being alive. Fully alive. To repent now for the Corinthians was to find life now. For us to repent in the present is to find life and live it to its fullest. So Paul is not just urging his people to admit their faults, right? And for whatever that's worth. But to seize the reality of the present in order to become fully alive and to become fully who God was calling those people to be. And even more than that, Paul sees this nowness, this immediacy, as the key to living a meaningful life, even amidst the most horrific calamity and pain. We are treated as imposters, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and see we are alive, as punished, and not yet killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. And this nowness, this nearness of life, of the life, it's not just for ourselves. It wasn't just for them. For the Corinthians, repentance meant making amends to God and to one another. You don't need to read too far into the book to realize how sordid that community was and at odds with one another, and how repentance was about more than just making things right with God, but restoring what was broken around them. And so this new way of being human in the present, it's not just about our own self-interest, right? It's not about us trading our future hopes for some present satisfaction and sanctification. It's about much more than that. It's about living life, this life, so fully in the present that we transform the very fabric of the world around us. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." This vision of fasting, right? Of fasting from behaviors that tear at the fabric of the world, that tear at the humanity of people around us, this kind of fasting, of making oneself right before the Lord, is one of immediacy, of power, of life flowing out from us to transform the world now, not in some idealistic future. To restore the hungry and the poor and the naked. It's not a vision wherein fasting stores up for us treasures in some far removed heaven like a divine bank account. It's not a fasting that primarily even prepares our souls for eternal bliss in the afterlife. It's a vision of life committed to total presence in the present. A vision of the spiritual significance of our lives finding a kind of culmination here, now, in this earth, in this community, with the people we see before us. You know, and while the specter of death might give us a fright and inspire us to do all that we can to disavow the reality of our mortality, there's a certain kind of freedom, I think, in embracing the fact that we are going to die. But there's an end. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Because when we are freed from the illusion of this kind of immortality of our lives and our person and who we are and our identities and our hopes and dreams, when we're freed from the illusion of that, we are then compelled to do what we can to find and make meaning here in our everyday life and the interactions we have and the things we do and the desires of our hearts, to find the depth of life that is within us already, to find the total presence of God in the reality of this present age, and setting aside the mystery of life after. The only life that we are actually certain of is this one. And really, we're not even certain of the rest of our lives because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. The only thing that we are really certain of is the fact that we are here right now together at this moment. Being freed from the tyranny of the future, we commit ourselves to a repentance and a fasting that produces not an inner sense of superiority or accomplishment, the ones that made the people in the gospel stand on the street corner and shout their trumpets and disfigure their faces probably with ash. We're here for a repentance and a fasting that produces in us the desire and the will to do the most good for the world around us now. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. But these ashes, these words, these rituals, this liturgy, they're sacramentals of a different type. They're ones that remind us the calling to repentance, not just for ourselves to store up our own spiritual treasures, but a repentance that opens up the possibility of a meaningful, transformative life in this very moment, in the starkness of this night, to collectively ritualize the fact that we are going to die as an attempt to break open our resistance to this. By the presence of God within the reminder of our sure and certain mortality, we are freed from the tyranny of life everlasting here and now. And so let us use the preciousness of our life now, making the most of what we have been given, to transform the world around us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.